All right, everybody, welcome to another deep dive. You know those articles you send over about the Comstock Act? Well, get this, it's about way more than just some old law from the 1800s.
Right. You start digging into this thing, and it's like, wow, this is connected to some seriously current events.
Exactly. So, to kick things off, for anyone who hasn't heard of this thing, what is the Comstock Act?
Well, imagine this. It's the 1870s, and you've got this guy, Anthony Comstock. He's on a mission, right? To clean up America.
Sounds innocent enough so far.
Yeah, except by cleanup, we're talking about anything he considered obscene, which back then, well, let's just say their definition was a tad different.
Oh, I bet. And this Comstock character, he just gets to decide what flies and what doesn't.
Pretty much. See, he was this Civil War vet, super serious, and he gets hooked up with this group, the YMCA, and suddenly, bam, he's leading this whole anti-vice crusade.
Wait, the YMCA? Like the gym.
The one and the same. It's wild right
Yeah.
there. And get this. One of the articles mentioned he was funded by Colgate, you know, the toothpaste
Oh,
people.
hold up, Colgate. That's some serious historical irony right there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Comstock is out there railing against vice, and Colgate's selling Vaseline, which, let's just say, had uses Comstock definitely wouldn't have approved of.
Okay, see, I knew there had to be some juicy details in here. But this Comstock Act itself, what did it actually do?
In a nutshell, it made it a federal crime to send anything obscene in the mail.
So, what, like dirty pictures?
Well, that was part of it, but we're talking way broader here. Anatomical diagrams, medical texts, even classic literature. Chaucer, Boccaccio, Band. If Comstock thought it was obscene, that was it.
So basically, he had a ton of power to control what people could even access.
You got it. And this wasn't just theoretical either. There's this story about Victoria Woodhull, a suffragist who called out a preacher for hypocrisy.
Oh, snap.
Right. Well, Comstock sees this as his chance to use his obscenity crusade against her newspaper. It didn't work, but the whole thing backfired in a way that actually helped him get the Comstock Act passed.
Talk about unintended
Oh,
consequences.
yeah, absolutely. It's a prime example of how one person's crusade can have a huge ripple effect.
Wow. So, this Comstock guy, he really did end up shaping the legal landscape. But how does this dusty old law connect to what's going on today? It's not like we're using a Victorian-era definition of obscene anymore, are we? I mean, you're telling me. When I was reading this stuff, my jaw basically hit the floor when I got to the part about how the Comstock Act is being used right now in cases about
It's
abortion.
crazy where it really shows how this old law can still have a real impact today.
Wait, so how are they even using a law from the 1800s to try and control access to medication in 2024?
Well, the argument goes that sending these abortion pills through the mail, it's like, bam, violates the Comstock
Are
Act.
you serious? That seems like a bit of a stretch.
It does, doesn't it? But it's happening. And get this isn't just some random tactic. There are groups out there who are really pushing for a Comstock Act comeback. Remember that Project 2025 we talked about?
Project 2025. Yeah, that does ring a bell, but what was that all about again?
Okay, so they're basically a conservative group, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, Comstock Act for the win. They want to dust it off if they get enough power. We're talking maybe restricting access to information about reproductive health, contraception, the whole nine yards. It's kind
Wow.
of a big deal.
Okay, this isn't just some abstract legal debate anymore. This is about real people's lives, their health care, you know? And this whole Comstock thing, it's really about power, isn't it?
100%. And it gets even weirder because history is like rhyming right now. One of the articles you sent mentioned this law professor, Reva Siegel. She actually compared how the Comstock Act was used to, get this, the arguments used in the Dobbs decision.
Dobbs, that's the one that overturned Roe v. Wade, right?
Exactly. So it's like we're seeing this comeback of this whole idea that the government gets to decide what people do with their own bodies.
It's kind of terrifying when you put it like that. But even back in Comstock's time, people didn't just sit down and take it, did they?
No way. And this is where things get interesting. Remember how you're saying you loved that story about George Bernard Shaw?
Oh my God, yes. That whole thing was amazing. Tell me more about that.
So Comstock, he tries to censor Shaw's play because it was about, prostitution, which obviously set him off. But Shaw, he's a genius, right? He takes this whole thing and basically turns the tables. He comes up with this term, Comstocker.
Comstockery.
Yeah. To describe this whole, like, prudish anti-freedom thing, it was this perfect comeback. And it wasn't just about Comstock himself. It became about this whole system of censorship.
Oh, wait, he made fun of him so well that it actually became a whole word?
Pretty much. Comstockery became this thing that everyone was using, and it actually got people thinking differently about censorship.
That's incredible. He took this insult and turned it into, like, a weapon against censorship. That is so cool.
It really shows how powerful language can be, right? Even when it feels like everything is stacked against you, you can fight back. You can change the narrative.
So are we saying we could be heading into round two of this whole censorship thing?
Right.
With these Project 2025 folks and their, you know, agenda? Could this get really real?
It's not a perfect comparison.
Yeah.
Times change, right? But yeah, there are definitely some parallels here. And that's why it's so important to, like, know what's up, be aware, speak out, you know, don't let anyone tell you what you can and can't know or do with your own body.
It's just wild to me that a law from the horse and buggy days is still relevant. It's like, come on, haven't we moved on from all that?
You'd think so, right? But it shows you these issues, censorship, control, they're like embedded in our DNA or something. It's a reminder that progress isn't a one-way street. You got to keep fighting for it.
This has been honestly kind of intense. I thought we were just going to be looking at some old law, but this is serious stuff. So what now? What can we actually do with all this?
Well, knowing is half the battle, right? Just being aware of the Comstock Act, how it's being used, that's step one. Then, you know, be informed when you vote. Support groups fighting for, like, reproductive rights, freedom of information, and use your voice. Talk to your representatives. Support artists pushing boundaries, that kind of thing.
Like what George Bernard Shaw did. Sometimes a little humor and good art can be the best weapon against this stuff, right?
Totally. Makes you think, shakes things up, starts conversations that wouldn't happen otherwise.
Well, if there's one thing I've learned today, it's that history isn't just boring stuff in textbooks. It's alive, and it can teach us a lot if we're paying attention. So thanks to you, dear listener, for sending us down this rabbit hole. Hope it was as interesting and maybe a little alarming for you as it was for us.
And if this got you thinking, keep digging. Check out those groups fighting back against these laws. See how you can get involved, because this is about our rights, our freedoms. It's a big deal.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This was a real eye-opener. Let's all stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay engaged. And we'll catch you next time.